It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Friday the 6th of May 2022 for professional investors only, never ever investment advice. Now on the tube home last night from work, I was reading the Evening Standard business pages and the story was about, quote, a buying spree as Fed boss puts a limit on rate rises. This was all about the fact that stock markets were up 3% on Wall Street and there's a big surge in everything after Jay Powell, head of the Fed, was seen to rule out a kind of more aggressive 75 basis point per meeting rate hiking cycle, as some of the FOMC members, including Jimmy Bullard, formerly of Soccer AM, now obviously on the FOMC, he was talking about 75 basis points rather than the 0.5 that we got. Still a doubling of interest rates to 1% in the Fed. But, you know, yesterday's chip wrappers and all that, you know, by the time the Evening Standard came out yesterday afternoon, Wall Street was already collapsing. The S&P 500 was down 3.5%. Dow was down like 1,000 points plus. NASDAQ down 5%. And tech stocks in particular getting hammered once more. Big damage being done yesterday as well in government bond markets. We saw a 10 basis point rise in US 10-year treasuries. They were up at 3.05%. At one point, they were 17 basis points higher, with long-dated 30-year bonds also getting hammered to a similar amount, really. Because those long-dated bonds are getting hammered, that's led to the highest mortgage rates now in the US since 2009, so since the global financial crisis. So to take out a 30-year mortgage, which is pretty common, the most common mortgage in America, now is 5.27%. So, you know, significant rises, affordability of housing is now much, much lower. And that will have some break on the economy. And remember, in America, of course, you can refinance your mortgages at any time. And people won't be refinancing their mortgages at the moment if they can help it. You know, you refinance when rates are low. That unlocks more income for you effectively. If you were on a 4% mortgage and rates are now 2%, you can refinance it too, and you know, save yourself money every month. People won't be doing that. This will be a kind of drag on household incomes relative to the kind of expected remortgaging and benefit that may have had in the past decades, as interest rates and mortgage rates have been falling since the global financial crisis. Now, not just weakness in equities, not just weakness in government bonds, but weaknesses also in credit and emerging markets. So I'm looking at Europe. iTraxx crossover was nearly 20 basis points wider yesterday, so at 452. That's a kind of cyclical high post-COVID that we've been at. You look at JNK, which is the big ETF for high yield bonds in the States. That's now down 11% or something like that year to date. And EM, weak as well. CDX EM, a measure of that, 15 basis points wider. And the rate hiking cycle continues in emerging markets. We've seen Chile hiked overnight more than expected. And we're also seeing weaknesses in some of the emerging market currencies too, in particular highlighting China, which has been weak recently, looked to have stabilized a little bit at the start of this month, but has been very weak in the last couple of days over the kind of lockdown fears, weakness in Chinese economy, and thoughts actually China will be trying to make monetary policy looser in China as a result, to try and get growth going. So we're at 2.68 at the moment. 6.7 is regarded as kind of the technical analysis, the big level that everyone's waiting for there as a psychological level. So, I mean, you could say this is renminbi being weak and other currencies being weak, but it's really predominantly a dollar strength story at the moment. The dollar is up at 104 nearly on the DXY currency measure of a basket of a few of its major trading partners. So that's going on at the moment. Question, what caused the massive turnaround yesterday from the day before, where everyone was pretty optimistic, thinking that Fed rate hikes wouldn't be so severe? And unfortunately, the answer is nothing. There was no real news yesterday that might have changed the interpretation of the Fed meeting the day before. I think that's quite interesting in itself. No new data, no new news. And yet we saw a complete turnaround, massive volatility, big moves in government bonds. Suggests that, there's bad things happening in the plumbing, potentially, of markets, and volatility is high. If you look at MOVE, the government bond volatility index, last year that was down at 50, it's now at 123, so more than the doubling of volatility in government bond markets over the past year. So, talking of currencies, the one that probably got hammered the most yesterday was the pound. Pound sterling got absolutely killed, especially against the US dollar, so it was down over 2% against the dollar. That came on the back of the fourth consecutive hike from the Monetary Policy Committee here in the UK. They voted 6-3 in favour of a 25 basis point hike, taking it up to 1%, which is the highest Bank of England rate since the global financial crisis in 2009. Three members, Haskell, Saunders, Mann, voted for 50 basis points, but 25 it was. That 1% level is also important because it's a level where the Bank of England has to decide what to do with, well, about selling those gilts that it owns on its balance sheet back into the market. The thing that caused the weakness in the pound and scares in bond markets were really that the Bank of England's forecasts were so bleak economically. Even gilts, but the global weakness in government bonds and rallied yesterday. So in the face of this 10 basis point rally, rise in US Treasury bond yields, gilts were actually rallying, which is kind of a very strange occurrence. So at one point yesterday, 2 and 5 year gilts were down 20, 25 basis points or more. This is on the back of the idea that inflation, while it's going up to 10% plus, which they announced, they have put in Q4 this year being a quarter of negative growth in the UK, and 2023 as a whole is going to be a year of negative growth. So next year is going to see growth shrink by 0.25%. So very, very, very bearish economic forecasts from the Bank of England, leading to headlines such as in Bloomberg, Bank of England sees 600,000 job losses as the price for taming inflation. It led to very uncomfortable press conferences for Andrew Bailey afterwards, which it didn't really seem to... a very difficult position for the Bank of England. What's it meant to do in this scenario? What can it do in this scenario? Does it, it's kind of taking stick for putting up interest rates, but it's saying, inflation's going up above 10%. We had a chat around the desk yesterday in the office about what is it that the Bank of England could do? And, there isn't really anything. I guess the one thing that people came up with is improve the terms of trade. And you could do this by really aggressively hiking at this point, really ramping up UK interest rates could lead to sterling getting incredibly strong. Let's say you have a 10% rally in the pound, that would lead to oil prices and imported food prices falling by a similar amount, and that would help get inflation under control somewhat. But remember, you can't do that without inflicting immense damage on, mortgage rates would also be going up aggressively, and bank lending rates to companies would be. So a rock and a hard place, I think, for the Bank of England. But the press conference wasn't particularly convincing. There is no good news, so it couldn't have been. But what was, I think, particularly surprising for gilt market participants is that, having said that at 1%, they would kind of do something with the bank's balance sheet, they were asked about that. There was no announcement, really. And they said, we have decided that now at 1%, this is time to start thinking about the strategy going forwards, which seems a fairly poor excuse for anything, to be honest. Why haven't they thought about this in advance? I'm not saying it would be the right thing to sell those gilts back into the market necessarily, especially into a very weak market as we have now. But it seems a bit strange not to have to admitted not having thought about it at this point. So anyway, we are where we are. Other things going on overnight in the UK was obviously the election. It looks like it may not be so bad as people had expected, in the north of England for Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party, obviously facing extremely weak economy, facing corruption and Partygate allegations left, right and centre, perhaps not quite as bad. London has been terrible for them. They've lost two or three major councils in London, and in the south they appear to be doing badly, which will be worrying for the bulk of the Tory MPs that are in the south, but perhaps raises the possibility that have been suggested over the past couple of days, that because things are going to get so bad in the UK economically, and that next year we could well be in a kind of deeper recession than by the end of this year, Boris Johnson, having scrapped the Fixed Term Parliament Act that kept elections on a regular electoral cycle as you get in the US, he scrapped that so he can call an election whenever he likes, and maybe we get a very, very early election later this year in order to kind of seal in what's not proving to be Labour dominance that you might have expected given the kind of political backdrop and economic backdrop at the moment. So that raises that risk a little bit too. Okay, back to the Bank of England. The market had priced in a peak rate from the bank of around 2.7%. We're at 1 now, obviously. That got rolled back slightly to maybe 2.5% following yesterday's, as we saw those short-dated gilts rallied a little bit, but still pricing in, as a result of that, I guess 6 more Bank of England rate hikes at 25 basis points. I have seen a few people lower than that. Bank of America have got just 3 25 basis point rate hikes in the price now, but on the whole, 2.5% still expected to be the peak from the Bank of England. It seems aggressive given those economic forecasts, but not aggressive given the inflation outlook. Final things to look out for today. Italy is underperforming quite dramatically. We're now at a spread of 2% versus Bunds, which is kind of, again, a cyclical high. So a weakness there to watch out for. And it's non-farm payroll day, the biggest economic data day of the month. So we're expecting jobs being created 378,000 today, down a little bit from last month's 426. It's a very volatile series, so I think you can say that's broadly a continuation of the kind of level of growth that we've been seeing recently. But even that increase in jobs that's slightly lower than last month would produce a fall of the unemployment rate down to 3.5%. That would tie with the lowest level that we saw back in 2019, which itself was the lowest level of unemployment that we'd seen since the 1960s. Have good weekends. Catch up with you next week. Bye.